It's good to be here today. Amen. Welcome to our Sunday school lesson. See a number of visitors out there. We're glad to have you come in and study the Bible with us. Try to stay current with what's happening and show you how that relates to the Scripture. The Bible is an amazing book. Think of something written 2,000 years ago that could be so relevant today. A lot of people try to compare the Scriptures with the quatrains of Nostradamus. And there's no comparison. They say that his prophecies were couched in ambiguity because of the Pope and the Catholic Church who were going to burn him at a stake. And so his quatrains are purposely shrouded in mystery. But the Bible's not shrouded in mystery. The Bible's open. It's not written to deceive you. It's written to illuminate you. The entrance of thy words giveth light, giveth understanding the simple. Father, I pray that you'd give me wisdom now and give me the gift of teaching. And open our hearts and our souls, our Father, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to read something for you. It's a book that hadn't been out long. UFOs and the Extraterrestrial Message. Listen carefully. A Spiritual Insight into UFOs and Cosmic Transmissions. And it's very revealing, this gentleman here. This is not to be an acid critique of the man. I simply want to use his observations to show you how that these things that I've been teaching in here have come together. Spiritual investigator so-and-so looks at the evidence for extraterrestrial contact and attempts to explain why aliens are so interested in us. In this unique investigation of cosmic communication, so-and-so presents the evidence for extraterrestrial contact in a whole new light, examining how these benign beings might offer humanity a rare opportunity for spiritual evolution. You remember what I said about evolution? Notice carefully the context. Not biological evolution. Now it is spiritual evolution. From creation myths, which of course would include the Bible, from creation myths and the big UFO theories to little-known eyewitness accounts, X-File exposes and his fascinating personal experience of alien contact, so forth, looks at channeled messages, remember channeling, from alien beings, and reveals how these messages hold the key to our own cosmic intelligence. Enlightening and controversial, he answers many of our questions about aliens, but reveals too that understanding the greater universe can be part of our own journey toward higher consciousness in our everyday lives. So-and-so is an award-winning author. He's written extensively on guardian angels, prayer, meditation, and many other aspects of personal development and empowerment. Notice the buzzwords, empowering you. You ever heard that preached from the pulpit? Of course. A world-renowned UFO expert and spiritual investigator, so-and-so was the first to bring declassified CIA and Pentagon UFO files to Britain 1980. He is a popular broadcaster and the author of Prayer, Energy, so forth, with the award-winning Gods, Guides, and Guardian Angels, and so forth. Now, folks, this is crammed full of what I've been trying to talk about in here. When Charles Darwin started this back in the 1800s, of course, he didn't start anything. But when he made it popular, he opened up the world's thinking to the idea that we are evolving. And they took the evolution, the physical evolution, biological evolution, and said, well, then surely we are evolving socially. Then they went into social evolution. And then, of course, well, it must be that we're evolving spiritually. And so they went into spiritual evolution. As long as you can hang evolution on it, it's okay. Because this culture has been brainwashed to believe that evolution is a fact, when in fact it's nothing but fantasy. If there ever was a myth, it's evolution. No question about it. But I've tried to show you the correlation between this mythology about evolution and how it affects the culture that you're living in right now, and how it's going to be used by the Antichrist when he shows up. Spiritual evolution is the logical outgrowth of Darwinism in the 1800s. Now, I got into eugenics, and I got into forced sterilization. I talked about Adolf Hitler. I talked about Maria Orsic. I talked about the Virilians, the Viril Society. I tried to show you how that there was a connection between all of this and superior knowledge, how that the Nazis, no question, had knowledge that they exported to the United States under Operation Paperclip when the war was over with. Wernher von Braun, who was one of the most brilliant rocket scientists in the world, no question about that. But he himself, Wernher von Braun, warned the nation, warned the world, that there is something going on above us in extraterrestrial intelligences and beings. And then I moved from that and tried to show you how that the United States of America has destroyed its foundations. The part that matters in this country, the what makes up a family, has been assaulted like you wouldn't believe. Now, let me give you the Hegelian dialect one more time for you to get an idea of how this works. The thesis is unacceptable. The thesis is the status quo. The status quo is one man, one woman, family. Status quo is that man seeks God as his creator and the Lord Jesus Christ as his savior. That's the status quo. That's what this nation has been about for over 200 years. No question about that. It's in our founding documents. It's our founding fathers. But of course, they're tearing the founding fathers down. So the thesis is unacceptable. So what do? You offer an antithesis or an antithesis. The antithesis is that you begin to overthrow the government. You overthrow the foundations. Antifa and Black Lives Matter and the whole nine yards. These are terrorist organizations. You can have a group of people coming together for a prayer meeting and they'll come after them with clubs. Don't tell me that's part of civilization. It's not. These are domestic terrorists. But anyway, they are being used by men like George Soros, who has the money, that can afford it, that can, and others, no question about it, who remain anonymous. But they are being funded to create chaos in this nation. This is the antithesis. This is the antithesis. This is the part that the public will rise up against and say, we can't accept that. Well, they know you can't accept that. So what happens then? Then it comes back to the sin. In plain words, in order to get what you want, you've got to present an unacceptable situation where the people are willing then to compromise from a position that they would never have compromised from to begin with. That's what the Hegelian dialect is about. And you can see it played out over and over and over and over and over and over ad nauseum everywhere you look. It's everywhere. And it is coming to that point now. You're watching it happen. You're watching it happen. Francis Scott Key, I went in there and I read that. I read that fourth or fifth stanza of the national anthem that everybody seems to be so upset about. Why don't you read it? Why don't you Google the national anthem written by Francis Scott Key at Fort McHenry, Baltimore, Maryland, when he awakened and he wrote this. Google that and read that line where he's talking about. He's talking about the slave, and he's talking, what's that other word he uses in there? The hireling. I think it's the hireling. He's talking about the mercenaries. You know that when Great Britain fought against us for our independence, the Hessians were hired mercenaries, and they brought them into this country. And a mercenary is a military force that is being paid. They don't have any allegiance to anybody, whoever's got the most money. So these Hessians come into the country. They're the hirelings. Back in the 1800s, folks, the War of 1812, one of the major points that started that war was the fact that Great Britain was assaulting American ships out here in the ocean and taking their crew and forcing them into slavery aboard their ships. They were forcing them into forced servitude. And that was one of the greatest rubs, all right? So when he makes reference there in this Star-Spangled Banner, he's making reference to slavery that has nothing to do with American slavery. It has everything to do with the European system at that day and how it was applied. Nothing. Go read it for yourself. Read it and think over what you're reading. But in any event, the whole point is this, and that is that the United States of America, this is the crown jewel of the world, of the one world religion. As America goes, so goes the world. This is not what you don't see this in China. In Japan, how many of you ever read anything about the demographics of Japan? Japan. Google it this afternoon for your own enlightenment. You'll find out that less than 1% of all of the applicants to move into Japan as immigrants are denied. The Japanese are going to keep their culture exactly the way they want their culture. And it's not a matter of that they pick and choose. Everybody's denied. White Europeans or black Africans or Muslims, nobody's allowed in. You know why? Because Japan is going to stay Japanese, and nobody's going to change it. So what do the globalists do with Japan? They push them off to the side, and they work where they can change. And where are they going to be able to change? They go to the melting pot. The United States of America, and it is here that the change agents are at work like you've never seen it before. They've already flooded Europe with the Arab Spring. Europe's been flooded, all right? But the United States of America, because of our founding fathers and our Constitution and our foundation, is a little sticky because Europe had nothing like that. The United States is different. The Constitution in this country is entirely different from anywhere else on the face of this earth. The Constitution in America was written for a free people. And the First Amendment to that Constitution is the freedom of speech. That's the freedom of speech for a white man, a yellow man, a black man, a red man. It makes no difference who that man is. It is freedom of speech. And then the First Amendment covers freedom of the press, the Fourth Estate, the people who are out there reporting on what's going on. And the Fourth Estate can fulfill a good duty. They can serve a good purpose. Problem in America is that the Fourth Estate is a left-wing, radical, liberal outfit that has no appreciation for the truth whatsoever. They preach their agenda week in, week out, week in, week out. The reason they hate Donald Trump is not because of racism. It is not because of the economy. The reason they hate Donald Trump, he is a populist and a nationalist and an anti-one world government. That's why they hate him, folks. But they cannot come out openly and say that. They can't say that openly. Because if they said that openly, then they would expose the greater motive, the greater driving force in all of this. If it ever really came into the public square that Donald Trump is against the new world, one world globalist order, then immediately the people would be awakened to, what are you talking about? Well, what does that mean? Well, how does that affect my life? What's going on with that? Let me give you just a good indication of how it'll affect your life. This is a simple thing about globalism, okay? This is one point among many about globalism. All right. If you lived in the European Union, all right, you belong to France, Spain, Germany, Portugal, Italy, you're part of Great Britain, you're part of the European Union. You can travel from Greece, that doesn't offer a lot of money on their job, in Spain, that's had economic problems. And if you're qualified enough, you can go into Great Britain, or you can go to France, or you can go to Germany, which is the economic powerhouse of Europe, and you can get a job. You can go in there and you can work. So what's wrong with that? Well, here's what the problem is. What if America became part of a globalist economy? All right, now think. If America becomes part of a globalist economy, all right, what's to stop a Japanese or a Chinese or any of those Eastern countries over there. What's to stop them from coming right over here into America and taking your job? Let me tell you something right now. These multinational corporations couldn't care less about the flag of the United States of America. What do they care about? So what are they going to do? They're going to hire the most qualified and productive employee. Doesn't make any difference to them who it is. Bottom line, if America ever is so ignorant and blind enough to become part of a global economy where people can travel from one country to the next and the borders are open, many, many people in this country who have sloughed around and never got any education or skills, you will lose your job. You will lose your job, and you'll lose it to somebody who will work or who will educate and apply themselves. And you say, well, I don't know if that's true. Check me out. Check me out. Now, that's just the economic part of it. When it comes to the religious part of it, they will come in here with their religion, David Spangler's religion, the religion of the United Nations, and they'll tell you, okay, you can have a modified form of Christianity as long as you keep it within your walls, but you got to keep in mind that the God you worship is no different from the gods of the Muslim or the God of the Hindu or the rest of these gods. Your God cannot be any greater. Your God is all part of the great pantheon of gods. As long as you accept the universal spirituality and our mark, no problem. Churches are already doing that right now. They've already accepted that spirit. Any preacher that gets up in the pulpit and tells you that we're all going up the same mountain, just in different sides, different ways, but we're all headed to the same point, he's a liar and a deceiver, and he's part of the globalist religion. I didn't mean to get into that part, but that's the truth, folks. I'm trying to show you the connection of what we're talking about. That's this spiritual evolution that we're talking about. Now, we're being set up for something. We're being set up for something. We are being prepared for something. Did you know that a few decades ago, it wasn't long, about 1993, 95, somewhere in there. I read it this past week. I wish I had made a print of it and brought it in for you. But along about 93, 95, 98, somewhere in there in Jerusalem, a fleet of UFOs began to appear to the Jewish people. And they got in a tizzy, understandably. They got completely blown away with it. And all you got to do is Google it, and you'll find an enormous amount of material about what they saw and about the commentary that followed and all of this that went on about these UFOs that are coming over Israel. I wonder why they're interested in Israel. I wonder why. I wonder how much of the Bible these UFO contactees have. I'll give you a little bit of that right here in a minute. Did you know that in Mexico City, a few years ago, thousands of people, and I'm not exaggerating, thousands of people saw UFOs. All of a sudden, all of these UFOs appear in Mexico City. Mexico City, I think, has got something like 15 million people. Big. And these UFOs begin to appear to all these people in Mexico. Did you know? They say, and this is the only way you can, some of this stuff you can know, you go back and read it. They say that the American mainstream media hardly mentioned it. Hardly mentioned it. You would think that thousands of people seeing something like that would be newsworthy, wouldn't you? Well, according to the mainstream media, the only thing that's newsworthy is how long the high heels are on Melania when she gets ready to go down to Texas or somewhere like that. That's newsworthy. Boy, if all you know is what you get from the mainstream media, you're ready for the loony boon. Amen. But anyway, wasn't newsworthy. Didn't care about reporting it. So, of course, you know the Fourth Estate controls the thinking of the people. They say they do. They say their purpose is to control the narrative of what's going on among the people. Well, my job, and the job should be of any pastor that teaches and preaches the Word of God, is to give you an alternate view. What does the Bible say? That's what I'm responsible for, to give you. And so if the news media reports the truth accurately, God bless them. But when the news media gets off onto their tangents, then you should expose. In plain words, who polices them? They are arrogant about policing everybody else, the news media. And they don't like it when you start exposing. That's why they hate Donald Trump. And when I mention Donald Trump to you, I'm not giving you a blanket endorsement of President Trump. Not in any sense of the word. Not in any sense of the word. Not a blanket endorsement. But so far what I've seen is that he has done what he said he was going to do, as far as he's been able to do it, without being stopped by the Democrats, have been the party of resistance from day one. And now in the last few weeks, it has become obvious to everybody that the Republican establishment is also against his agenda. So he's fighting from both sides. And that's what he has to deal with. And he certainly needs our prayer. Because when he was elected November the 10th or 8th or whenever it was, when he was elected president, a lot of people came out and said, that is an answer to prayer, that God has given us a reprieve. He's given us a breather here before the end. And it may very well be the case. Amen. But in any event, these UFOs have a message. These occupants of the UFOs have a message. It's amazing to me how that message that's coming from light years away agrees with what Darwin started in the 1800s, evolution. And the reason that message agrees with Darwin and evolution is because an awful lot of people out there believe that mankind, as we know him here, didn't start here. He was put here. And of course, the Bible says he was put here. The Bible said God formed man from the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, became a living soul. The life of man did not originate on earth. His body did, but his life didn't. His life came from God. His life came from above, from the very breath of God. So these alien encounters, I've got a few of them here from the websites called alienresistance.org. You might want to write that down, because what I've seen so far on this website, they've got a lot of good material. Alienresistance.org. And here's what it says. I want to preface by saying there have been historical changes in the aliens' points of view. Historical changes. In plainer words, their message of where they came from and what they're about has evolved from the past into where it is today. Don't you think that's quite remarkable? It's evolved. And don't you think it's quite remarkable that an alien has any interest in the Bible? Right? Now let me say once again, I do not believe in little green men, in UFOs from some other star system. I believe they are demonic to the core. I believe they're spirit beings masquerading as whatever they want to masquerade as. That's what I personally believe. But to get a context of what's going on, you got to read some of the stuff that they say. Note this. In the 50s, the entities typically told the contactees of the day that they were from Mars and Venus. Now, this is important. In the 50s, they said, we're from Mars and we're from Venus. All right. Mars was the god of war. Venus was the god of sex. All right. But we've since sent probes and satellites there and found that these planets are hostile to supporting life, at least the humanoid type of life they were claiming to be. So 50 years later, the entities now claim that they originate from far more distant places in other star systems, like Zeta Reticuli, which is 39 light years away, or even in other galaxies like Andromeda, which is 2.5 million light years away. Now that's quite remarkable. That really is. Can you put that together? Think about it. As long as they could hold something out here which was mysterious to man, they could control him. Because men, one of the greatest fears of mankind is the unknown.
And when you have someone come along who begins to explain to you and define the unknown, then he is in control of your thinking and your mind. But then as man began to develop and his technology increased and he's able to realize, well, if you're a creature from Mars or Venus, then you certainly, you know, you must be some odd, strange form of life. Yet they don't want that. These creatures up here want you to think that they're just a little different from you, a little more advanced. That's their message to mankind. And the message to mankind is, we're a little further advanced than you, but we came right through the same place you did. We evolved to where we are now. And we are so gracious and benevolent. Remember the book, Benign? You remember what he said? Benign. We are so gracious and merciful toward you that we want to help you in your spiritual evolution so that you can be where we are. That's the message. Now that appeals to people. See? But it has to change because men continue to improve in their technology. The question was asked, if there were more than one Adam and Eve, yes, they could say so because there was more than one experiment on the earth done by aliens visiting the planet. They were created here. Aliens genetically changed the DNA of a distant cousin to the ape on this planet. The aliens took the natural evolution and speeded it up. Now the message begins to evolve. Now they get more technical. Now you have aliens talking to people about DNA. Well, back in the 50s, Crick and that, who it was with Crick, what was it, 52, 53, 54, they discovered DNA. But it wasn't something that was pretty well, I'd never heard the word DNA all the time. I was in high school. How many of you, I graduated in 64. How many of you ever heard of DNA in high school? Didn't know it existed. So it took a while for it to get out. But you see, now they're using whatever technology, whatever terminology that people have in their everyday life. Now they're using that to further their message. Are you watching the progression? What's that mean? That means something's coming. So, this is the contact, the message is from Bonnie Myers. And this woman, I think, says she's a channeler. And she has other messages. This is the one example of many of aliens injecting themselves in the Bible as creating Adam and Eve and confirming the theory of evolution or guided evolution, guided by them. This isn't their only attempt of retelling the Quran. No, the Bible. It's an amazing thing that how these aliens come down and they're not interested in what the Quran says or the Bhagavad Gita, I think it is, or the Egyptian Book of the Dead or whatever other religious book. They're interested in the Bible. They're interested in the message of the Bible. You know why? Because the Bible is the book of God, the one true living God. And in order to mess up your mind, they've got to mess up the way you see the Bible. Right? Isn't that exactly what evolution did to begin with? When a young person goes off to some university, by the time they come out through high school, they no longer believe the Bible's the Word of God. They get over there, then they get comparative religion, get all the rest of this stuff, and they have become atheists and agnostics. And they have a hostile opinion toward the Bible. Not just indifferent, they're hostile toward the Scriptures. Why? Because their mind has been messed up by believing a myth that the whole scientific community presents as science. And the Scripture warns you, science falsely so called. It is evolving. I believe in evolution, but not what they believe. There is an evolution. There's an evolution of thought. There's an evolution of the social order. I've watched it evolve in my few years on this earth. Yes, but as far as the evolution of Charles Darwin, spiritual evolution and all this stuff I'm talking about, absolutely not. I don't believe in that. But they've perverted the meaning of the word. You know what they do? They take a word and hijack it. Have you noticed that about this generation? They take a word, they hijack it, they redefine it, and you cannot use that word in any other sense from then on except the way they use it. And they'll take you and beat you to death with that word if you don't march to their tune. This is what I was saying to you the other day. They turn on their own. Liberals go after liberals now. They are so ingrained in their mission that they go after each other. Now, you remember I mentioned this the other night, and it bears mentioning again. The reign of terror in the French Revolution took place after the American Revolution. Thomas Jefferson helped write some of their freedoms in the French Revolution. The French Revolution was called the Reign of Terror. They put people in carts, and you could hear the carts as it rolled through the streets of Paris, France. They took them to the guillotine, to the stand they built for the guillotine, and they would cut their heads off, and the people would cheer. They'd hold up the head. They'd cheer. They were so brainwashed. And this is the state. This is the new government. It was the First Republic, I think they called it. They've had about five or six. But this is the First Republic of France. The French Revolution. The guillotine. One of the movers and shakers of that was Maximilien Robespierre. He was a lawyer. He pushed it. He was personally responsible for the death of thousands of people. But do you know what happened to Mr. Robespierre? They put him in a cart one day. And they hauled him to the guillotine. And they put his head under the chop block and they cut it off. Just like Haman in the Old Testament that built a gallows for Mordecai. They hung Haman's sons and they hung Haman on the very gallows. The Bible says if you dig a ditch for another man, you will fall in it yourself. The very ditch that you dug. That's the way it works. Watch them, folks. These liberals are turning on each other now because some of them aren't rabid enough in what they're doing. That's what's happening. That's America of 2017. It is unbelievable at what's going on. Stories changed. Once again, they can't verify their claims. The fact alone already lends itself to believing there's deception involved in this phenomenon. To quote Dr. Carl Sagan, who certainly was no Christian, in his book, Intelligent Life in the Universe, here's the quotation. What might an advanced extraterrestrial civilization want from us? One of the primary motivations for the exploration of the new world, now watch this, was to convert the inhabitants to Christianity. Peaceably if possible, forcibly if necessary. Can we exclude the possibility of an extraterrestrial evangelism? Sagan said that. Carl Sagan. He, of course, did not deny the existence of aliens. In his concept, though, being an agnostic, I don't know if he was an atheist. Very few of them really take the plunge into atheism. They realize how stupid they look. I mean, really, you're not any dumber on this earth than somebody who claims there is no God. How do you know that? But the agnostic says, I don't know. See? So agnosticism offers them at least that shroud. So, Carl Sagan said, well, you know how we converted people to Christianity in this country, in history? Well, then maybe they are evangelizing from there. He could not have been any closer to the truth. That's exactly what they're doing. They are evangelizing. They are planting their message. They are winning converts. But it's not from up there. It's from down here. They're rising up out of the earth. That's where they're coming from. Not from up here. Down here. Notice this. The question was asked. Let's get on down here to this. I'm in the wrong place. Now look at this. Here's an explanation of Bethlehem. A UFO moved in the sky to Bethlehem, and then it placed itself by a star in the sky, and also a UFO helped to part the Red Sea by lasers. The UFOs were working for God. These UFOs also provided the manna from heaven. No, I'm not just saying that God did not do this, but God worked through the UFOs to produce this. Also, God used a laser to write those things on the tablet, Ten Commandments. These UFOs also parted the Jordan River. Not all stories in the Bible are accurate.
Because your Bible is not 100% correct. I would say basically another 6% was eliminated because it talked about reincarnation and UFOs, which took power away from the church. See their message? They're attacking the Bible. The most controversial thing is the ascension and resurrection of Christ. You see, He went up to a UFO in a beam. He went aboard a ship, and He's alive today and will return in a ship called the New Jerusalem and will be stationed outside of the atmosphere. Boy, that's some preaching, isn't it? What authority do they have for that? Here's their authority. Either they were personally abducted into a so-called spacecraft and received this message, or they were a channeler, a medium, and by familiar spirits received this message, or through someone else they received this message. But regardless of how it happened, it came from a spirit being, and a spirit being that despises the Word of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That ought to make a red flag pop up in your head. Boy, you mean to tell me, of all this high technology and all the stuff we've got, that these little green men from up here coming down in these highly advanced spacecraft, they're interested in Jesus Christ? Think about that for a minute. Think about that. That's amazing. Oh, I know. Ezekiel's got that moving throne over there. Sure it does. In Ezekiel chapter 1. Yes, sir. Yeah, well, that may be true. That may be true, sure.
Yeah, and he says they're here. He said the reason they're so interested in our DNA is because the only way they can come into existence in this world is through a body.
Yeah, like the angels that kept not their first estate.
Right. And he says, and he's not a Christian, and he says that they're very deceptive and that they can't be trusted and that their goal is to eventually take over this world.
Exactly.
And he says that their spaceships, he says, from what I've gathered, he said, I don't believe that they're metallic. He says, I think that there's some type of energy that they put forth. But this guy is pretty interesting. And he writes books on this stuff. But he doesn't have anything in there that
they have. They have. And think about what you're talking about, though. Here's a man that's not really basing it on the Bible. He's basing it on his own observations and scientific analysis as he sees it. And he knows that there's something real about it, but it's not real like that. But it's real, nonetheless. After interviewing over 300 abductees, he summarizes the alien's message by saying, and now here's the alien's message after interviewing 300 abductees. The information that abductees receive is concerned primarily with the fate of the earth in the wake of human destructiveness, you know, global warming, so forth. Scenes are shown of the earth devastated by a nuclear holocaust, vast panoramas of lifeless, polluted landscapes and waters, and apocalyptic images of giant earthquakes, firestorms, floods, and even fractures of the planet itself are shown by the aliens. He gets your attention because we live on this earth. These are powerfully disturbing to the abductees, who tend to experience them as literally predictive of the future of the planet. Some abductees are given assignments in the future holocaust as it is displayed, such as to feed the survivors, or are told that some will perish while others will be taken to another place to participate in the evolution of life in the universe. They get the message over because everybody has a common denominator,
And that is that skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his skin. Did you know the Bible says that? Do you know who said that? The devil said that. And the devil said that. Is it the truth? About 95% of the time. It's the truth except for those people who are willing to lay down their lives for their brethren, like Christ did. For the most part, it's the truth. Because that's the devil's observation of life on planet Earth. Now, we've got September the 23rd coming up, and I've gotten all kinds of emails. I've gotten emails from people who chide me because I don't jump on the 23rd bandwagon. We've got Nibiru, or Nibiru, the planet X, that is swiftly approaching the Earth. And one fellow has come out with a book and said that this planet that's approaching the Earth is going to be here September the 23rd. You know, they're building hype, they're hyping people up to this stuff. And I got an email yesterday from a man who's very sincere, and I think he's a born again believer, but he's been brought into the 23rd hype. And here's the problem with this. What are you going to do the 24th? You see, or the 25th? And probably what a lot of them will do will come along and say, well, you know, the 23rd laid the foundation for it, and it was the beginning of it, and then we'll see what happens later. And on and on and on it goes. You have very few people who have the honor to stand up and say, I was wrong. But it does happen. In the past, they have said they are wrong. I won't get into the details of the 23rd, and I won't get into the details of Planet X and all of that. It is a reality. The 23rd is coming, and these signs are going to be in the heavens. That is a reality, no question about it. As far as Planet X is concerned or not, I don't know that it may be, like you mentioned a moment ago, brother, that Planet X may be a real thing, but not real like this. Are you following me? You see what I mean? It really exists, but it doesn't exist in this dimension with this physical makeup. When Satan showed the Lord the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, he showed him a reality. But how could he have done that? Somebody said, well, he just deceived him. No, he didn't deceive him. Christ was not deceived, never could be deceived. He knew Satan was the deceiver. But he did show him the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. All the Gentile kingdoms. The times of the Gentiles. All the way up to the kingdom of the Antichrist and all of that. And he said, this is mine to give to whomsoever I will. Fall down and worship me. And it's yours. How did he do that? I've read many, 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 many commentaries on it. I've got enough commentaries to sink a battleship. And, some of them are pretty good, and some of them, they get wild. Some of them simply parrot what somebody else said. How did he do that? What did he show him? What was the essence of it? That's a pretty good question. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And it tells us what we need to look for and what to expect.
Absolutely.
But signs are for the Jews.
Yeah.
It's not for us.
Yeah.
And if this thing is a real sign, it's not for us, it's for the Jews. And let God deal with it.
I believe the Bible, don't you, brother? I hope that you never hear me say anything in this place that'll ever cause you to doubt one word in that Bible. That's your faith. That's the foundation of your faith. If you ever get in a church where some preacher's up there constantly sniping at the scriptures and cutting a little bit here and just planting a little seed here and a fiery dart there, that's not a man of God. A lot of them do it because they want you to put faith in them instead of the Bible. I'm here today and gone tomorrow. The Bible is eternal, forever settled. Yes, sir. Well, yes, but how a demon came into existence is one of the greatest mysteries in the Bible. A demon, daimonion, Greeks thought it was good to have one because it was it brought wisdom. They were wise, no question. It was supernatural knowledge, so the Greeks wanted to have a demon. But the Bible spells it out very clearly from Genesis to Revelation. Not one time Is a demon ever set in a good light? They are fallen, wicked, evil, vile spirits. The word demon itself does not show up in the King James Bible, but evil spirit or unclean spirit does, which is a translation of daimonion or demon. Yes, sir. Well, it says 9, doesn't it? Revelation 9.
That's where I believe that the Antichrist is going to come from. He's going to come from the pit. He's going to come from that. He's going to come from a different dimension.
Well, that's what the witch of Endor saw. She saw an old man come up out of the ground. She saw the real Samuel, and it scared her to death. Because God raised the real Samuel from the dead. Sure did. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get back into it next Sunday morning. If the men in black come and get me, I'll be here at the funny farm. You can come by and visit me. The only thing that gives me any sanity in this crazy time is the Bible.
Amen.
The book. The book. Brother Hopkins, will you dismiss us?
Services this afternoon, therefore our pastor giving the word, giving the unction to preach. Lord Jesus.